And we're back. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's Rich Birch from the Unseminary Podcast. Today on the interview, we've got this fascinating conversation. I found it super fascinating around what happens when things go right at your church. What do you learn in those seasons? So many times we're talking about when things go wrong. I think you're going to love today's podcast. Listen, I also want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to us by another brand new sponsor, Purpose Driven Conference. Super excited to have them on board. This June, I want you to get on a plane or get in a car and get out to Saddleback Church. I want you to join pastors and ministry leaders from over 40 countries, from all kinds of states and denominations, and becoming healthy, effective, growing churches together on mission. At the Purpose Driven Church Conference in Southern California, Pastor Rick Warren and the team at Saddleback Church will help you align your mission and vision with God's purpose in every season. Leave feeling equipped and energized to move people from community to commission with purpose-driven strategic disciple-making process. Listen, you need to go over to pd.church right now to register. Register your entire team. They've got incredible discounts that are expiring very quickly. pd.church to find out more about that. Listen, one of the things you need to be doing for your team is getting out of Dodge. You need to get out of town, and this would be a perfect conference for you to go to, pd.church. All right, well, let's jump into today's episode. Let's go.
Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up, and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. So glad that you're with us today. You're going to be rewarded. We've got a great interview today. I'm super excited for Dave Vance. He is the lead pastor at an incredible church that you should be following along with. This is a Crossroads Church in Ohio. They're really in a fantastic church, all kinds of cool things going on. They're one of the fastest growing churches in the country. There's a number of things that we can learn from them. And so I'm just honored that you're on the show with us today, Dave.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. Thanks for all that you do, Rich, for the kingdom and the church.
Oh, thank you so much. I wonder if we could start with you kind of telling us a little bit about the church. If maybe if people were to arrive, what would they experience on a typical weekend? And what is kind of the history? Give us a bit of what's the flavor of what's been going on the last few years.
Yeah, we're a contemporary non-denominational church in a mid-sized Rust Belt town in Mansfield, Ohio, a multi-campus church. Just over the last couple of years, we've launched a few campuses, and I've been here about 4 years, and came from the East Coast, Maryland, to Ohio. Have learned that this is Buckeye Nation here, so everything is the Ohio State Buckeyes. But one of the things that's interesting about the church in its history, about 22 years old, the church began as kind of your typical mid-90s seeker model, and slowly as growth happened, the transition changed to a little more deeper discipleship model. And so what we've done is really over the last 4 years is kind of bring the pendulum back to what I would call this balanced approach of, hey, can we be deep and discipleship focused and yet really be attractional and realize that we live in a world where people are looking for some answers to some deep questions. And so can we give those answers and at the same time have a really dynamic ministries from kids to worship to now campuses that have smaller venues and opportunities for people to connect in community. So we've been able to make that change in growth and really saying, hey, we can be a church that balances both of these things, reaching people and yet making sure that discipleship is the forefront of all that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're seeing across the country churches that are balancing out like you're doing at Crossroads really are having an impact. They're making a difference, and there's this amazing thing happens where you are attracting new people, but then also keeping them and having them connect and grow and really flourish in their relationship with Christ, which ultimately is driving growth. And I know that's been a part of the story of what's happening at Crossroads. You're continuing to see people connect and stay plugged in. And that's the case, right?
It is, and discipleship breeds reaching out more, and that's the beauty of as people are multiplied, as they sense that calling that, hey, as part of the church, your job now is to go influence the nook and cranny of society that God has put you in, whether it's your neighborhood, your workplace. And so we've been able to see some intentional dialogues and impact being made in communities where people are at, whether it's in their workplaces, and that has breeded growth in the church. And so that multiplication aspect has really, really been happening as we've launched people.
Now, as you know, in your seat, you know, leading in the organization and as it continues to grow and impact, you know, what are you learning to kind of leading in the midst of what, on the outside, it looks like actually a fairly successful kind of, you know, great season. Things are going well. You know, I think a lot of times in churches we talk about, you know, I think I can be guilty of this, like, hey, church isn't going well. You know, here's four reasons to make it better. But hey, things are actually moving well at your church. What are you learning about leading during this season?
Yeah. And as you know full well that it's, for every good thing that's happening, there's certainly things that are keeping us on track. And so there's things that are certainly need to be worked on. But one of the things that really has struck me, and this personally for me has been seen in both ministries that I've been able to lead. And I led in my hometown in Maryland and now here in Ohio. And in Maryland, I got to a church that was planted by my youth pastor and took over. The church was about 200. When I left there, it was about 1,100. You know, really saw transition. And now coming to a church here in Ohio, when I got here, it's about 1,900, and now we're at 3,000 and just trying to figure this out. And what I've learned in that journey that's been really interesting, and in Maryland, I realized it, but pass it aside, is this just must be a unique experience. And then I came here and realized, wait a minute, this may be an experience that no one talks about, and that is this. That ministry success is actually just as difficult, if not more difficult, than the ministry struggles that we face. And, you know, people think that if you have a growing church, you have a strong budget, you have effective outreach, you have dynamic staff, then everything must be just so easy. And what I've learned is, no, it necessitates even greater desire, even more immense focus and solid leadership. And so it seems that sometimes these successful seasons are actually even more painful in many ways. And
Yeah, it's amazing. I love this. You know, I've led in three different churches who have grown from, like just under 1,000 to, you know, beyond 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. And one of the jokes I've said in the midst of that is, you know, everybody wants to be in a growing church until you're leading within a growing church. And, so you know, true. There's a lot of pressure there. There's a lot to handle. And, you know, in some ways, there's like these weird dynamics that happen around. We take less risk, even though we have more opportunity to risk, because we feel this like, oh, there's like so much pressure. And so when you pull this apart, this idea of, you know, maybe start with what are some of those pressures you're experiencing, and then what are you doing to try to, you know, kind of lead through that?
Yeah, so there's certainly internal pressures and external pressures, and you know the internal pressures, or let me start with the external pressures because I think they're a little more obvious. That is, you know, you have this a bit of current of culture that when you see success or what would be observed as success, there's a bit of pushback to that. Well, they must be compromising because they're succeeding, or they must be doing something wrong because they're a church doing well. And so from even a cultural standpoint, there must be something weird about them, because why would all these people be wanting to go there or be a part of that? But then internally it happens as well. And that's the weird part of it, is all of a sudden internally there's this this nervousness, if I can call it that, where you know, what is success? And when you begin to talk about the successes you see, well, you're not being a church anymore, are you? Because as a church, it's supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be easy. And so internally, there's this feeling almost like the eyes are on you, like, what's really happening behind the scenes? This really can't be good in this way. You can't be having campuses launched and budgets going well and the staff that are really dynamic. Like, this can't be happening. And so there's this internal pressure of just, you know, you sense almost pushback even there that success really isn't what the church is supposed to be about. And so as a leader, you feel a little bit of that weight and pressure of, wait a minute here, are we doing something wrong? And right. You know, one of the things I've learned is part of that job is that cultural architect, moving the culture to realize this season is exactly what God is moving you in and exactly what God is doing.
Absolutely. I love that. And I know there may be a part of this could be, because I've experienced the same dynamic you're talking about there. You know, there may be some of this that is, as we become a more post-Christian culture, you know, there was a time where a growing church that was like a rubber stamp of approval, like, oh, wow, that's things are going well there for some reason. We're not really sure what's happening, but it must be going well. Where now we're on the other side of that, where there's this like, hey, things are, it's growing. There must be something wrong about that. When you think about this idea of being a cultural architect in the midst of all that, how are you helping to kind of combat this idea that like, oh, you're exploding, you came from nowhere, you know, it's you know, we should be suspicious of them. How are you handling that?
Yeah, and there's a couple of different ways. You know, first of all, I would say not to be afraid, you know, for us not to be afraid to actually celebrate the successful season. And, you know, I find that to be, it's really an invitation to give permission to everybody to say, wait a minute, we can celebrate what God is doing. Like it's okay to pause and to really celebrate and really building even a biblical case of celebration. You know, I think we tend to teach, oh, we got to fix the failures and the struggles, but actually there's a biblical call to celebrate, to pause and to really say, look what God is doing. And so I think it's admitting faithfulness to Christ is the ultimate success, but these small successes are pushing us to faithfulness mm-hmm. to Christ. And so, mm-hmm. you know, and that's part of the struggle as well is, you know, success. What does success look like in a church? Mm-hmm. Is it 1,000 people? Is it 5,000 people? Is it, and it really is coming back to those goals, the strategies, the processes, the structure, and saying, we're fulfilling these, and we're doing a pretty good job at these. And now let's celebrate what we have seen happen as a result of these goals that we've set.
Yeah. What has the celebration looked like for you? How have you kind of practically done that with your team, with your people? What does that celebration look like?
Yeah. So for us, we really try to focus on, we have three core values based upon our mission statement. Our mission statement is to lead people to the truth that transforms lives in North Central Ohio and around the world. And a couple things with that is, you know, we feel like our job is to lead people to that truth, but then also that we're regionally based. And that's kind of a different form of our vision. And then these three core values, we say committed to glorifying God, connected in the community, and called to share. And so what we try to do is center every celebration around those core values, at least one of those core values. Mm-hmm. So we're able to tell a story about, hey, this person made a decision for Christ or took a step of obedience to baptism, and they were baptized, and let's celebrate that. And this is a moment to realize God is doing something that we can glorify Him in this moment. And so to tell that story, community, you know, as people connect in community through our small groups is an opportunity to share how people are engaging. And so we're trying to share those stories all throughout the year of how God is using people in the church to fulfill this mission. And what that does is a couple things. First of all, it takes the pressure off of us to have to brag about what we're doing. And when I say brag about it, you know, obviously we would never use that word or say that word, but we're trying to celebrate what God is doing, but it doesn't have to come across like we're the ones doing it. It's the people in the church that are doing it.
Right.
And so by picking one story, we're elevating that, wait a minute, this is people in the church that are just like me, not just church leaders that are casting the big vision. Mm-hmm. These are people in the church that are grasping this and mm-hmm. living this out. And so the beauty of that has been they get to tell our story.
Totally. Yeah.
They get to tell the story that we're trying to paint. So those celebrations happen all throughout the year. We take one or two times a year, one specific time at the beginning of the year to do what we call a year in review, where we just celebrate really what God is doing. And we talk about numbers and we say, listen, this is, you know, for some of us, this makes us nervous, but God had a book called Numbers, and we want to celebrate what God is doing, and this is your story. And so we get to publish that and put a guide together. And then we tell these stories throughout the year just mm-hmm. to remind people that this is not us doing this. This is what God is doing in the midst of the people that we're leading.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, you know, you've come into an existing church, I think, and listen, this may be a bit delicate, and so hopefully our relationship can sustain this. You've come into an existing church that, you know, now is seeing new spurts of growth. It would be easy to people to say like, it's all Dave. How do you kind of communicate your connection to what's happening today, to what's gone on in the past? How does all that work out? How do you handle that, that issue?
That's a great question. And it is certainly one for me. I've had the privilege of being set up well. I always use the golf analogy. Crossroads Church was teed up really well for me. And so I got to come in and one of the things that I try to do as a leader is truly always really respect the past, respect what the church has been, and that it's the past that has compelled us to where the vision can go in the future. That if it wasn't for the story of the past, we would never have the future to be able to tell or to write. And so I think connecting, every time we celebrate, there's a connection to the fact that this is what the dream of what Crossroads was going to be when it was planted 22 years ago. This is the dream, and we have to dream today of what we hope it to be tomorrow. And so really constantly building that bridge and then painting the picture of here's where we're at, and here, the here to there principle, here is where we're at, there's where we need to go. And I would say without painting that the past was bad, certainly we have to paint that the future's better.
Right.
But that we're only going to get there because of all the ways, all the things that have been done, the foundation's been laid, the vision that's been cast in the past. So we try to intentionally tie any successful moment to our past successful moments, the past successful moments, and even the past difficult moments.
Yeah. That's good. Now, I was going to say, I think it's a small leader that tries to take all the credit. And, I think there may be leaders who are a little bit nervous to do what you're doing, which is connect back and say like, hey, this is where we've come from. It's just a continuation of the dream from 22 years ago. Isn't it amazing what our founders, the people who got this ball rolling, what they're, and to try to become a student of that history and pull some of that out and pull it into the present and say like, hey, this is really the exact same thing that, we've been trying to do since we started.
Yeah. And there's always past success that has been or could be measured. And that's the beauty is, we go back 20 years ago, there were successful moments that were measured and celebrated. And so, we're not doing anything different than what the church has done for centuries. And that is we have moments and seasons of success, and we're celebrating that and giving the glory to God, both and while painting it to the past history of faithfulness, and that there have been people that have run this race before us that is facilitated what we're experiencing today.
That's cool. Well, maybe changing gears a little bit from the communication piece, looking at maybe some of the more practical sides of, okay, so people have started to show up, you're growing. What are some of those changes maybe internally or externally that you've made to try to both accommodate and then ultimately accelerate that growth? How has that, what are some changes you've made around the church on that front?
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing in talking about how ministry success is difficult, because as you grow, the holes in the processes and even your strategy become even more apparent. And so all of a sudden you get to see as people start coming, wait, we're doing this really well, but now this part where success is happening, actually they do have holes. And the amount of people that come create some of those holes as well. And so we've had to, what I would call is, an intentional approachability. We have had to be very intentional in trying to make sure that we remain approachable. And some of the ways we've done that internally is we have really tried to build a congruent process from our first impressions, from the parking lot when you drive in, all the way into what we call our next steps area, where you walk in, you're welcomed, you know exactly where to go, you know what to do. You come in having no clue where to go in the building, and all of a sudden there's somebody there guiding you. We kind of use it similarly to a travel agent who's taking somebody on a journey, and they're able to take them on a journey through their experience at the church, and then ultimately lead them into an area where they're going to connect with somebody in community. And so we've had to, as growth has happened, actually go back those apparent holes of our first impressions and next steps. And that's something we have really worked on, is building this clear path. Mm-hmm. That people, as they come into the church, they know exactly where they need to go. They know exactly what they need to do. And then we're going to help them along the way so they can get get connected to our church rather quickly and even serve. And so we have had to do that. And then externally, we have had to take and make some intentional steps to be approachable in our community. As growth has happened, it can very easily look like, well, that church is kind of, they're on the hill, they're kind of their own thing, they do their thing. Yeah. We one of our campuses is actually a city center in an urban area of our community. And we have intentionally began to reach out with helping those who are less fortunate, really getting involved in the needs and sitting at the table saying, hey, we're here to learn with you. We want to know some of the struggles, going to some of the meetings that probably a church wouldn't be looked at as an answer, and going and just listening and being able to say, hey, we're here wanting our voice to just grow without forcing anything by just being a part of that. For example, as we enter this season, we're sponsoring some holiday events and we're the sponsors. And part of that is it's a form of apology to say, hey, yes, we're seeing success, but we're in this with you. We're in the community with you. We're a part of the struggles that we see with you. And it's our way of kind of becoming more approachable to our community.
Very cool. Love that. That's amazing. Again, a kind of a different area around kind of the team management, how you've looked at how you manage the people that serve with you. And, you know, what have you experienced from, you know, I know every church is trying to attract a great team to come and serve with you. And that really, in a lot of ways, is one of the things that can accelerate your growth if, you know, you kind of get the right people on the bus and get them in the right seat, all of that. What are you learning about that, about getting the right people in, acquiring them, keeping them, seeing them stick and stay, all that? How is that working for you guys?
You know, I've got to confess to you that I have been surprised in a season that, you know, I would, you know, I guess we would label successful. There's growth. There's, you know, the campuses are being launched and people are being sent and staff that are being developed. We have seen turnover, surprisingly, in this season that has been a season of success, if you could call it that. And that has been very interesting. The reason for that is, I think, is in the moment of where things are moving forward and everybody's got their nose to the grind and going after it, in a rally season, all of a sudden levels of insecurity and stretching start to happen. And so we're seeing that this season of success is actually leading also to a season of change. And that, usually we only think of that vice versa. We think a season of change will lead to a season of success. But what we at least I've never thought about is that a season of success actually leads to more seasons of change and capacities begin to be reached. And so transitions begin to be normal. The beauty of that is as those capacity reach, it is a great opportunity to honor the staff that have worked hard to make what has happened today. But it's also a great opportunity to get that next level staff member that will come in and think even down the road into the future. And that's what we've seen is some of the staff changes we've experienced in the midst of a season that has been really good and valuable has actually only compelled us even more forward because they're coming in wanting and ready to work at this current speed we're at, which feels like warp speed to everybody that's been here, but they're coming in only knowing that speed.
And right, so true.
we're kind of using their energy to help continue this season and move us forward.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I know for we were experiencing a similar thing at a church I was involved in, and you know, we acquired some kind of outside help with that. And a part of what we talked a lot about was, you know, what is a reasonable level of turnover? What should we be anticipating? And, you know, the national, for nonprofits, the national average is 15% turnover. And so, you know, when you think about it, if you get a staff of 40 people, that means you're going to turn over 6 people a year. That's one every other month, which can feel like a lot, right? Functionally, that feels like, whoa, like there just is... But it kind of is normal, you know. That's a normal piece of you know, of the puzzle. So, you know, I think it is important to benchmark. That's one of those questions as you interact with other growing churches to say, hey, where's that at? Let's actually, you know, have that that conversation. That's fantastic.
And the thing that hits me is we think it happens only in a season where it's just we're kind of cruising along and not much is happening. And it's interesting. I wonder, especially in growing places, a growing church or a church where, you know, again, success is a bit. You know, what does that even mean? But in those moments where we feel that growth is happening, I've just have found that's where the turnovers probably happen more than not, because you're pressing forward. And that's the interesting thing that a lot of people don't think about or don't consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I've been in that executive pastor role, that second seat. And I've always said in these moments, I try to model for our team, hey, like an openness to say, I will continue to serve here. And as the church grows, I will, grow ahead of that and try to, develop myself. And, but I don't want to be a lid for the mission. I don't want to be the thing that slows us down. And so, I've found that actually just calling that out and saying, hey, my job, a part of my job is to be aware, hey, how am I contributing? Am I pushing us forward or am I dragging us back? And so even creating an open, conversation, just because there are some people who will come to the point where they'll say, I just need to tap out. Like this has gone beyond where I really want to be. I really loved it when we were half the size we are, and I don't love it anymore. And that's okay. That's a fine dynamic. Let's talk about it and keep it out in the open. What about on the personal side? So in the midst of a season like this, how are you wrestling with, pride that can bubble up? How are you wrestling with, your own kind of internal dialogue? What are you learning through this particular season your church is in?
Yeah, it's, if I could put it in two words, it would be to stay humble, to remain humble, to pursue humility, to not confuse ministry success as approval from God. Mm-hmm. That ministry success or a season that's good and moving forward is not my identity. That it is only a result of really God's faithfulness, and that I have to remember that. So, it's enjoy, celebrate it, but remember it's God, and then move past it and move on to the next thing and say, okay, God, what's next? And, I think there's an aspect of rest in there where, man, I need to take some time to rest and enjoy, but also to allow God to move the mind and the heart forward into the future so that there's not sitting back on the cruise ship. It's the battleship mentality of saying, no, we got to go forward with what's next. And so staying humble in that, realizing, there is enough struggles in ministry to keep that humility tied. But to make sure that I ground my identity, even more so in the successful moments, to ground my identity, it's probably the most dangerous moment. And so grounding my identity in Christ and not in any success of the church and in his calling to go and make disciples. So that's something that's, I think staying humble and remembering that my job is to continue to help us move forward in that vision, and that ultimately that's God's faithfulness and God's vision that we're fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, kind of as we come, towards the end here to land it, where are you thinking in the future? Where does your mind go? Hey, where do you think God might be taking you next? What are questions that you're wondering about at Crossroads as you look into, this, brand new year and, all of that?
One of the things that we're really strategizing about, and it's a big topic, a lot of discussion, a lot of churches doing it, is the world of the multi-site, the campuses. And one of the things we're seeing in our community and region is this resistance to big, large. We don't like big organizations. We like more intimate. Seems to be a resistance, and so we're trying to figure out what does it look like to grow by getting smaller. Right. And so I know that's a big topic. A lot of people are doing it in the larger cities. That may come more naturally just because of sheer size. In a mid-sized town of 55 to 60,000 people, a region of about 250,000, 225,000, it's a little bit different thought because it's more of an intimate community. And so people know each other. And so we're trying to figure out, we've launched a few campuses now, and that's been the interesting test, is to say, wow, there are people even in our midst that really, they're coming to our church, they're putting up with our size. But what they're really looking for is what our campus in a smaller venue, a smaller place really has to offer. And so we're looking at the future of ministry saying, is this what it's going to look like throughout our region? And so we're wrestling with that, praying through that as we're kind of new to that multi-site, multi-campus strategy. We're looking at saying, is this really the future of what the church looks like? Is right. to unity and yet this multiplication aspect in smaller places and in different communities that are a little more isolated and yet still part of this smaller community.
Nice. I'm excited about that. And I think, you know, God's obviously clearly doing something in your church. Excited to see what happens in the coming months and years. So I really appreciate you being on the show today, Dave. If people want to get in touch with you or with the church to kind of track along, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, check out our website. It's www.crossroadswired.com. Certainly follow, you know, you can follow through Twitter or Facebook on both, as well as Instagram. We're on there. And then for myself, I love to, you know, love to be in contact through, you know, Twitter or even email, whichever would work. On Twitter, it's at Pastor Dave Vance, and love to keep connected and help any way I can.
Nice. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Dave. Appreciate that.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.